Air Force business. Of course it is. For God's sake, we nearly went to war today.
So now you're a hero?
No, but she is. Carlotta's face contracted into a puzzled frown. Suddenly understanding the reality of it, Scheib grinned maliciously as he told his wife, "That's right. She's a hero now. Thanks to you, she was in the right spot at the right time to shoot down a pair of ballistic missiles that were launched at us. What do you think of that?" She started to reply, but hesitated, then snapped her mouth shut, spun around, and disappeared down the hall, leaving the door open. Scheib could hear the clop-clop of her high-heeled slippers going down the stairs. He put the phone down next to his scotch and swiftly went to the door, closed it firmly, then returned to his recliner. "Well," he demanded, "I'm still trying, sir."
"Where'd you learn to fight like that?" Harry asked. His voice sounded funny to him because his nose was stuffed with cotton batting. They were in the galley. Lieutenant Sharman was leaning over Harry, dabbing a pad soaked in rubbing alcohol over the bloodstains on his face. The plane lurched, and the first aid kit sitting on the next seat slid to the deck with a clatter. Harry barely missed getting the pad shoved into his eye. "Sorry," the lieutenant said. Colonel Christopher stood behind Sharman, watching the first aid work closely.
"Four older brothers," she answered Harry's question, "and self-defense classes at the academy."
"You're a terror," Harry said.
"That wasn't the love tap you hit Delaney with," Christopher replied, grinning. "Kidney punch. Learned that at good old Medford High.
Must have been a great school." Harry chuckled despite the pain from his nose.
"We had a pretty good football team, but winning the game wasn't as important as winning the fight after the game." Lieutenant Sharman stooped to pick up the first aid kit.
"For what it's worth," he said, inspecting his handiwork, "I don't think your nose is broken. You're going to have a pair of beautiful shiners, though."
"Thanks," Harry sighed. Colonel Christopher shook her head slightly, then said, "I'd better get back to the cockpit. Weather's getting thicker. John, you'll have to get back, too."
"Yes, ma'am," said the lieutenant, shutting the first aid kit's lid with a click.
Harry asked, "Where'd you put Monk?"
"Locked him in the forward lav," said the colonel. "Your people helped drag him in there."
"What's going to happen to him?"
She shrugged.
"That's up to the AG's people, I suppose."
"And your own corporate execs. From what you said, he killed somebody."
"That was an accident." But Harry knew it was more than that. "I mean, he didn't intend to kill Pete. He just..."
The plane lurched again, much worse. Sharman staggered against the bulkhead. Colonel Christopher grabbed at him for support.
"I'd better get to the cockpit," Christopher said. Silently, she added, "before Obi wets himself."
O'Banion had both hands on his control yoke as he tried to help Major Kaufman keep Able One flying steadily. Christopher could see the dark, swirling clouds of the storm below them, smothering the view from horizon to horizon. "Thank you, Captain," she said to O'Banion. As the captain got up gratefully and she slid into the pilot's seat, Christopher said to Kaufman, "Sorry to be away so long, Obi. We had a bit of a ruckus downstairs."
"Hasn't been a tea party up here," Kaufman muttered. The plane was buffeting worse than ever as it plowed ahead on its three remaining engines. Colonel Christopher put on her heavy flight helmet and plugged in her communications line.
"John, I need an ETA for Misawa," she said into her lip mic.
"Lieutenant Charman's still downstairs, ma'am," O'Banion's voice replied in her earphone.
"Get him up here," she commanded. "We got a ship..."